You're listening to Sounds Good on WKMS. It's our midday music and community conversation program. I'm Tracy Ross, joined in the studio now by Kate Lochte. And on the phone, we have organ recipient Betty Lingenfelter. Betty's going to talk about the Kentucky Organ Donor Affiliates. Thank you so much for being on Sounds Good today, Betty.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Hey, Betty, this is Kate. Let's start off by telling your story. I want to say, first of all, that I hope we never get too accustomed to success stories like yours that we don't really think of them as miraculous.
I don't think we'll get to the point of that. In trying to talk people into being organ donors and stopping and thinking about 117,000 plus people being on a waiting list, I don't think we'll get to that point, because there is so many people on the waiting list, and talking to, you know, people and asking them to sign up to be organ donors, and there's always, they have, you know, people have their fears and they might not want to sign up and they have their religious beliefs. Trust me, there's nothing to be afraid of. All religions that we have contacted, all the religions say that it is a good thing to do. And with mine, I it's a miracle. I just, every day, it's a miracle.
Well, the date, August 4th, 1998, was when this began for you. Tell me about before and after.
Before was, for about 3 years there, it was okay. I was being treated, and then all of a sudden I come in contact with a flu virus or something that just did my liver in, and I just started spiraling down. And for 18 months, then I was on the list, and 8 of those months I spent, well, just spiraling down and to the point that I didn't know if I was going to make it or not. And each day we would, you know, keep hoping, and we were in and out of the hospital because I would have fluid to build up on my lungs, and I'd have to go in and have that drained off. And then I would continue to swell, and it was a tedious task, to say the least, in trying to be able to breathe and function at the same time because of the fluid that would build up. And then I got to the point I had pneumonia in the left lung, fluid in the right lung, and that got to the point they all thought I had given up. And I hadn't given up. I had just gotten tired of repeating myself. And I knew that eventually that the antibiotics and everything would kick back in and I would be all right and people could hear me again. But I just shut up. And so I had doctors that would just almost threaten me to, you got to get out of this bed, you got to get up, you got to get to moving. And I was just leave me alone and let everything take its course, and I will be back. And so I did. I got to the point that I built my strength back up, and so my doctor, he had fussed at me and was headed out of the room when I said banana split. And so he and my husband stopped, and they come back in, and they said, "What did you say?" And I said, "Banana split." And he said, "You want a banana split?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "You have to get out of the bed, sit in the chair, and eat it. And I will not count it against your fluid intake for the day." I said, "Okay." So they found me a banana split. And I got out of that bed, and I ate it, and I was back up on my feet again and going. And up until the weekend of before August the 4th, they had always let me, my husband, take me out and ride me around Louisville. Excuse me, or we'd go across the river and sit at the park and walk around the park. And they had never really ever told me I couldn't walk around Louisville or walk around outside or walk around the hospital until that weekend. And then that weekend on Sunday, the doctor told me, no, I couldn't leave. I couldn't leave that floor. And so then I realized that I was closer to not making it than I was to making it. And so that sort of took a toll on me, and we made it through that evening with tears and worry. But then on Monday night after that, they came in, two of my nurses came in, and they were all huddled together, and they said, we think we have your liver. Go back to sleep. As soon as we have the results of the final test, we'll let you know. Well, there was no sleeping. There was no anything but waiting and wondering. So they came in on Tuesday morning and told us that if we were going to call anyone, we needed to do it now, that they had found my liver, and I was going to be transplanted. And so they prepped me and got me ready for transplant. My husband made telephone calls, and I was in transplant for 9 hours. And they said that they would come out ever so often and tell them how things were going. And when my doctor finally came out and said it was over with, that they had got my transplanted liver taken care of, and that it was working, it went to work right on the table, and that I was doing good and was in recovery, and they could see me in about an hour. And so that was Tuesday night. Then on Wednesday and Thursday, I don't remember anything. They say that I got up and they set me up in the chair and that I tried to write, but I don't remember any of that. But on Friday, when I woke up on Friday and realized that everything had gone according to plan, I wanted out of that bed. I wanted out of that bed and in that chair. I wanted to sit there. And every time I would speak to someone, because I had been so out of breath before, it was like a whisper. And then when people came into my room and would talk to me, I would talk to them just like I'm talking to you now. And they would take a step back. And it got comical. I got to where I would laugh. Every time somebody would take a step back and look at me and say, I can't believe I can hear you. And I said, yeah. I feel like somebody turned the light switch on.
Wow.
And I was back to being me again.
Wow.
It was just awesome. I sit there in the bed and I thought, this is unreal. You know, what went through my head is there was one man that died on the cross for me and for everyone. And now there has been a man that has died in a car accident. And I have been blessed with his liver, that his family was willing to donate his organs. And I got his liver. And he's going to continue to live on in me. And he does every day. My daughter named him Livy. We came home. When we did come home, there was a big banner that says, Welcome Home, Mom and Livy. And that's what we call him, is Livy. And I would love to know the family members and tell them how grateful I am. And I think that's the way with any transplanted patient. They do. The ones that I know that have met their family members, they're like one big happy family. And with me, I would love to know my family, that organ donor family. And when we go to the transplant games every 2 years, the donor families come walking out, and I just claim all of them. I don't know mine, but I can claim all of them.
There you go. So now that you have lived so many years with Livy, how long have you actually been a Kentucky organ donor affiliate? I read about you in the Christian County Chamber of Commerce newsletter, where they were spotlighting you as a diplomat for the chamber, but they showed you at a display table with Coda. So I take it that you go out and make appearances.
Yes, I do. I do every chance I get to set up a table and a display or be able to make a talk, then I'm ready and willing because I want people to understand that it is very important that they sign up to be organ donors. And since the time I have been transplanted, we have, the state of Kentucky has gotten a registry, a donor registry. So when they go to sign up to get their driver's license, then they can say, yes, I want to be an organ donor, and they will be added to that registry. So at the time of a person's death, all the hospital's got to do is check the registry for their name, and it'll pop up and tell them, yes, they are organ donors. And it makes the process of finding out who is organ donors and who is not organ donors, it makes that process a whole lot easier. And it's most importantly is to talk to your family members even before you sign up on that donor list, because when they come out and tell the family the person has passed on, that is hard enough on a family as it is. But to tell them that they want to be an organ donor and donate their organs to people who are in need, then first thing usually happens in people's minds, oh, they're going to cut them up. No, they're not going to cut them up. You can have an open casket. It is one of the best things in the world a person can do because, as we say, you can't take your organs to heaven with you. There's people here that need them. And to make sure that the families are not upset and they know that what's going on, it is best to tell the family members, your next of kin, you know, I want to be an organ donor. I've had people that I have talked to in groups before, and then had one to pass away, and she had told her family that she wanted to be an organ donor, and she had not signed up. She brought the paperwork home and told her mother, she said, here, read this. This is what I want. And then something happened, and she was killed, and she was pronounced brain dead, and where she could donate her organs. But by the time they got to her, then the blood supply had been cut off from her organs, and they were not usable. But they could use, could use her eyes or corneas, and could use skin and some bone. So there was different things they could still use. People do not realize that everybody who dies that wants to be an organ donor is not always a candidate, because if that blood supply is cut off to the organs, then they're not usable. A person has to be brain dead, and they have to continue to keep the blood flow to the organs in order to use them.
Well, Betty, I'm very grateful that you've taken the time with us today to talk about this, and we hope that our listeners will go read more at the CODA website. It's KentuckyOrganDonor.org, and especially address the question that you alluded to about the religious beliefs, because there is an activity in November in churches that's quite interesting that you can read about there, the National Donor Sabbath Weekend. But thank you, Betty, and keep on talking.
I will. I will never get me to shut up.
Bye-bye. Have a great
Bye.
Day.
Thank you.